Key. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Going to be talking about scams on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. Listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey. Our guest is William Francavilla, author of a new book entitled The Madoffs Among Us. William, welcome. I know you have some good advice for us in your book, right?
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you. There's a lot of books out there on how to make money. There's thousands of financial planning books. I decided to write a book that was focused on helping people hold on to their money, because there's too many scam artists, there's too many con men out there who would just love to take that money away from us.
Anybody can be affected by this, incidentally. Even famous people, smart people, have been taken for millions. Billy Joel, Sting, Robert De Niro. You talk about some of those sting operations in your book, do you not?
I do. And Billy Joel is very notable because he had millions of dollars stolen from him, and it was stolen from his investment advisor, who happened to be his brother-in-law, who happened to be the godfather of Billy Joel's daughter. He was close to home, and Billy Joel never suspected anything because Billy Joel was busy doing what he did best, singing, performing, entertaining, on the road. He made a great deal of money, but he resourced his money and trusted his brother-in-law, who enriched himself. So it doesn't always come from strangers. Oftentimes it comes from people we know the best. We think we know the best.
You say in your book, William Francavilla, that the most vulnerable segment of society are older Americans. Talk about that. Why are they so vulnerable?
And I'm particularly sensitive to older people being scammed. If you consider, as people age, they're in their 80s or 90s, and there may be cognitive issues. Perhaps they're living by themselves for the very first time, having lost a spouse. Maybe they're just lonely, and it's a target-rich environment for the bad guys. They understand vulnerability, and they're always seeking out the most vulnerable among us. And I have a strong recommendation for all people who have grandparents and aging parents. Get involved with a lot of those decisions that you might think are intrusive or maybe too personal. But I believe in my heart that it's okay to call Nana and say, "Nana, I want to come by and I want to talk to you about your finances. I want to make sure there's a lot of bad people out there who are trying to steal money, and I want to make sure you understand that I'm on your side, and I'll help you any way I can. I'd be happy to receive copies of your brokerage statements as well as your bank statements. Nana, has anybody called you recently, and it's an unusual phone call, like from the IRS or from Social Security? Really get involved and stay in touch with these folks, because we, younger Americans, I'm including my children and my grandchildren, they're in a position to help older folks like myself, and I welcome it.
You have a number of stories in your book. One of them I noted about a woman named Mary. She was around 70 years old, a cancer survivor, a widow living on a fixed income. She gave her trusted advisor more than $100,000, and before she knew it, she had nothing. And this happens a lot, doesn't it?
Unfortunately, it does. Let me tell you a little bit further regarding that particular story with Mary. Dave, the financial advisor, was a friend of mine. I went through a training program with Monica, with the financial advisor, who was eventually found out and actually spent time in prison. you could have knocked me over with a feather. How in the world does a person who we all liked, we all trusted, we thought we knew, literally steal money from trusted clients? But she did. She did. And poor Mary, there was very little recourse. She was hard-pressed to get any of that money back. So it did have a extreme unfortunate result.
A little bit about our guest listeners. William Francavilla is a certified financial planner, over three decades of experiences in financial service industries, worked as an investment advisor for a number of Fortune 500 companies, retired as a senior vice president from Legg Mason. The title of your book, The Madoffs Among Us, refers, of course, to Bernie Madoff. Refresh our memories and those of our listeners, William, who may not remember Bernie Madoff.
Who can forget Bernie Madoff? He's such a bad guy. $65 billion, and it was about 10 years ago where his empire fell apart. It fell apart because it was a classic Ponzi scheme where he was paying new investors older investors with new money that was coming in through the doors. Well, the fact of the matter is the money dried up during the financial crisis of 2007, 2008, and when people demanded their money back, he just couldn't give it back. Mr. Madoff, whom I have reached out to on several occasions, he's serving the rest of his life at Butner Federal Correctional Facility in North Carolina. I've asked him for an interview or for at least a phone call. I'd be happy to get on a visit with him. For one reason or another, he's basically ignored me. But I believe that Bernie Madoff worked in a very singular fashion. I don't think his wife knew anything about it. I don't think either of his sons knew anything about it. He had a very close accomplice, and it wasn't until a very smart chartered financial analyst named Harry Markopoulos did some real strong due diligence and raised the flag to the SEC and said, we've got a problem here. But the SEC didn't believe him, Securities and Exchange Commission. They chose to ignore Markopoulos' findings, and it perpetrated the crime for several years thereafter. Bad guy.
So we're chatting with William Francavilla, author of The Madoffs Among Us. What should we do, William, to be on the alert for scanners? Do you have any tips for our listeners?
In addition to going to brokercheck.com and making certain that you're in the right company, it is incumbent upon us to ask the financial advisor some very pertinent questions. I want to find out as much about the financial advisor as he or she wants to find out about me. I want to know about their experiences, how long they've been in the business, how many firms they've been with, do they have any industry credentials. I want to know their approach to financial planning, because if you have 10 financial advisors in front of you and you present the same problem to each and every one, you just might get 10 different suggested solutions, which is fine, but I want it to make sense to me and what my needs are. I want to know if I'm going to be working personally with that person or with a member of their team, and I certainly want to know how much I'm being charged and how I'm being charged. Dave, here's the problem. We trust people. We think that financial services is a very daunting, complicated area of information, and oftentimes it is. It doesn't have to be that difficult. I encourage the reader to find out, at least on a cursory basis, the fundamentals of financial planning. It doesn't have to be that difficult. I think the industry maybe even intentionally makes it more difficult than it has to be.
And you also provide in your book financial literacy about such things that some people may not understand fully: cash reserves, budgets, insurance, risk management, estate planning, investing, that sort of thing. The title of the book is The Madoffs Among Us: Combat the Scammers, Con Artists, and Thieves Who Are Plotting to Steal Your Money. The author is William Francavilla. He's been our guest here on It's Your Turn for the last few minutes. Time for a checkup for your pet. We recommend Suburban Animal Clinic. Or maybe Fido or Tabby's not feeling so well. Suburban Animal Clinic, a small animal veterinary practice located Route 8 south of Butler at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. It's about 5 miles south of Butler. Suburban Animal Clinic, in the spirit of Dr. Dennis Damon. Their services include wellness checks for your pet, of course, also emergency care. They have laser therapy, dental available, also prescription diets. You know, one of the things that are problems for a lot of our pets these days, being overweight. Microchipping, they can handle that as well. Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, south of Butler. If you're headed south from Butler toward Pittsburgh, as soon as you pass all the auto dealerships, start looking on your left. That's Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8 South at Thorncrest Drive. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Talking about risky drug-nutrient interactions on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. I'm Dave Malarkey, and our guest is Dr. Michael Rosen, visiting with us by telephone today. Doctor, nice to have you along for a few minutes with us today.
It's a privilege, Dave. Thank you.
Dr. Rosen has more than 40 years of experience as a medical doctor. He currently serves as Chief Wellness Officer of the Wellness Institute at the Cleveland Clinic, and you may have heard of him on the Dr. Oz show on TV. He's the Chief Medical Consultant. We're going to be talking about risky drug-nutrient interactions today, Dr. Rosen, and I guess this is important because so many people are taking supplements these days, and they're heavily advertised, aren't they?
They are, and the good news is some of them actually have major benefits. The bad news is there are interactions between drugs and supplements, and 60% of us don't tell our doctor all of the supplements we're taking. And not only that, but the two major electronic medical records, which most of us physicians use to look at, is there a drug-supplement interaction or a drug-drug interaction when we're prescribing, don't have most of the supplement-drug interactions in them. That is, they don't have a database that does that routinely. And so between us not telling our physicians and the databases that the electronic medical records use for supplements being incomplete, it does mean that you have to do some of the work yourself to be able to benefit from the supplements and drugs.
Can you tell us a little bit about how medications interact with vitamins? Because that's different in every person, isn't it?
Well, it is different in from person to person, but there are some general rules. So, for example, in a recent study done by the University of North Carolina with 551,000 people taking blood pressure medicines, 19% of them, about one in five, was taking a supplement that interfered with the action of their blood pressure medicine, so they weren't getting the full benefit of their blood pressure medicines, which is why the PersonaNutrition.com website got really developed, was to help people understand those. It's a free website. Hmm. Another group, if you take something for GERD, for gastroesophageal reflux disease or heartburn, many of those change the acid-base balance in your stomach, which decreases your normal absorption of vitamin D and calcium, meaning you may want to take more, or at least get your vitamin D measured to see whether you your level has dropped to a level that is too low for you to function optimally from a standpoint of the vitamin D in your body. And there are a series of these. So a third of us over the age of 18 are on statin medications, such as Crestor, Lipitor, or the newer rosuvastatin and atorvastatin, which are just the generic for those, but are much less expensive. Well, those decrease the blood level of CoQ10 in your body by about 50% over a three-month period. So you want to take a supplement of coenzyme Q10. So there are things that are that should be done that are to help you, as well as things that should be avoided. So you avoid. So for example, you shouldn't take St. John's Wort if you're on hormone therapy, either to prevent as birth control or in for relieving menopause or other symptoms. The because the St. John's Wort increases the metabolism of the enzyme that metabolizes the hormone therapy, the estrogen so, and progestin so well that it eradicates their benefits. So there are some things you should know, and some, and that's why the Persona Nutrition website got developed.
Yeah, I was just going to tell our listeners about that. Anybody can log on to that website to get more detailed information that Dr. Mike Rosen is talking about. And it's Persona.
It is a free website. It's just like realage.com, which we developed to help people know what things they can do to slow the aging process. It's a free website, too. So personanutrition.com, it is a free website for to help people.
I guess one of the problems is that for many supplements, it's kind of, a prepackaged, kind of a cookie-cutter solution. Failing in many cases to take into account things like family history, genetics, and all that sort of thing. And you really need to discuss that with your doctor, do you not?
That's exactly right. So you're right, Dave. The best way of doing it is to talk with your physician. Because of the shortage of time that physicians have, sometimes these conversations don't get done. And so the least used and least expensive resource in the entire medical community is probably the pharmacist. And so pharmacists are really professional and really understand the drug-drug interactions and often the drug-supplement interactions, but many of them don't have enough information. We don't tell them enough about our supplements, so do tell them. And as I said, the website PersonaNutrition.com was developed just for that purpose, to let you know what is hazardous and what isn't.
I want to go back to the blood pressure medication that you mentioned a few minutes ago, because there are many Americans taking blood pressure medication. I did not know that taking an iron supplement 2 hours before or after some types of blood pressure medication might decrease the effectiveness of the blood pressure medication. I didn't know that.
Right. So taking iron, that is, whether in a vitamin or even in a food, where it in the blood pressure medicine hit the stomach at the same time, often cause irregular absorption of the blood pressure medicine. So some days it will be really effective and you'll have a normal blood pressure, and some days your blood pressure will be very high. And that's the problem with that. And so all you have to do is avoid either food or supplements with iron in them in that two-hour period of taking a blood pressure medicine. So we often say that if you're taking a blood pressure medicine two or three times a day, take it at 2 hours apart from when you would eat or snack on anything.
Good advice. We've known for a long time about possible interactions with various drugs. In fact, most pharmacies have warning signs, red flags that go up for a potential interaction. Maybe you didn't realize that can happen with supplements too. Interactions with medications, with nutrition and so on. I guess the bottom line would be, Dr. Rosen, be sure to consult with your healthcare practitioner before starting any dietary supplement regimen, right?
That's exactly right. So before you do, and before you make sure you have one doc at least that knows everything you're taking and everything that you've got, so that you don't accidentally. So you even if you get drugs from three different doctors because you got an orthopedist or a gynecologist or a general practitioner, make sure that one person knows all of them, or that they use the same electronic medical record so all of those drugs are in there. But also try and get it so that the medical assistant, whoever helps you with it in the initial entry of the history, knows all the supplements you're taking and has a current list of it.
Once again, as we wrap up here, Doctor, can you give our listeners that website for more info on risky drug-nutrient interactions?
Sure. It is personanutrition.com, P-E-R-S-O-N-A, nutrition.com. It's a free website, as I said.
Dr. Michael Rosen, our guest. Doctor, good to talk to you again. Thanks for being with us here today.
Great talking to you again, Dave.
Sure.
In the middle of this summer heat, take a Saturday night and go back to the good old days with an evening of golden memories at the Tanglewood Center. On Saturday, July 13th, enjoy listening to music spanning nearly four decades with performances by the Doo-Wop Shop and Platinum 2. Doors open at 6, buffet dinner by Chef George at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets are $25, and as always, it's BYOB. It's an evening of golden memories, Saturday, July 13th at the Tanglewood. For tickets, call 724-2 87-0021.
Butler Health System is a top 100 hospital for getting Doug back to playing with his grandkids and managing his farm.
For ensuring that Craig made it to his daughter's college graduation.
For helping Ray travel to Europe to visit his family.
At Butler Health System, we know what it takes to provide nationally recognized care. But more importantly, we know why we have to.
Caring hands. Remarkable minds. That's Butler Health System.
Chatting listeners on the upcoming segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR. My name is Dave Malarkey. Our guest is Samuel Pollan, who joins us by telephone from London. Samuel, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here today. We want to talk with Samuel Pollan about his book, The Year I Didn't Eat. Now, this is a novel. It's fiction, but it's the story of a teenage boy struggling with anorexia. And this is a problem, I understand, Samuel Pollan, that you had yourself. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. I mean, the book isn't quite my story. The central character, Max, is a little bit older than I was when he had an eating disorder, and his experience is a little bit different, but it is very much based on my own experience. I was about 12 when I developed anorexia, and, it lasted for about 2 years overall.
The character, protagonist in your book is Max, and he is 14 years of age. My goodness, 14-year-old boys are dealing with enough stuff at that age without having to worry about anorexia, right? My goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so boys tend to, when they develop eating disorders, tend to get them a bit younger than girls, and certainly it is an age that my own experience was, you know, you're going into puberty, and you're going into high school, and there's all kinds of things changing and going on in your life that can be quite a dramatic time at the best of times, and it's definitely a tricky time to be dealing with something like that.
How did you discover, Samuel, how did you discover that you had an eating disorder when you were 12 years old?
Well, it's a funny thing. They sort of grow from habits. So I think you realize at a point when you've already actually had an eating disorder for quite a long time. So, you know, I ran a lot, and I ran a perfectly healthy amount to start with, but then that became kind of obsessive, you know, excessive. And I was very, very conscious of the way I ate and trying to eat very healthily and very conscious of the way I looked and the way people saw me. But again, that kind of became a vicious cycle. So it has that kind of pattern of lots of sort of addictive behaviors that it sort of by the time you clock that there's something seriously wrong, it's that you're too into the patterns of behavior to necessarily know how to change them.
Well, in your book, The Year I Didn't Eat, your central character, Max, keeps a journal where he confesses his thoughts and feelings about his eating disorder. In fact, he even has a name for it. He calls it Anna, as in anorexia. Did you do this, Samuel? Did you keep a journal when you were battling anorexia?
So I didn't quite do that. I mean, I kept food diaries, and I was definitely very fastidious about my record keeping, as lots of people with eating disorders are. The specific thing with the journal in that book is there's a couple of reasons that's in the plot. One of it is trying to kind of have that dialogue between Max's eating disorder. It's kind of when he has rational thoughts and when he is having irrational thoughts about food, and that was quite a useful mechanism to say, you know, when people read this, they don't want it to be something that kind of inspires people to, you know, have eating disorders or kind of puts the thoughts too much in people's heads, and that was useful for that, having that kind of dialogue. And then for a second reason that kind of serves the plot, one of the key things the book is about is the connections that Max has with people around him. He gets into a hobby, geocaching, so it's kind of an orienteering thing where you leave messages to people in lots of geocaches around the world. That kind of idea of connections and sort of talking to other people is very important to the plot of the book, and is very important to, you know, recovery from mental health problems. So that's kind of a key plank of the book.
What exactly is geocaching for listeners who may not be familiar with that term?
Yeah, so geocaching, you have an app. Or if you're really old school, you just have coordinates, essentially, GPS coordinates. But you have an app, and that tells you there's like a... You can find caches near you, and there will be hundreds of them wherever you are, pretty much, sometimes in city centers and sometimes in woods and forests or kind of all over the place. And they're like hidden boxes. They can be as small as a box of matches or much bigger, and they're sometimes hidden. They're normally hidden kind of somewhere in plain sight with a little bit of a clue as to where they are. And you can find them, and there's normally, sometimes they have little prizes in, but there's little messages, you know, and it's all volunteer done, so you can set up your own geocache and log it and kind of add it to the network, and anyone can do that. And in the book, Max is given, as right at the start of the book, he's given a geocache to hide for himself by his brother as a Christmas present, and then he hides that, and then he starts giving and receiving messages to people through that.
And one of the persons who starts swapping stories with him is the mysterious E, the letter E. Does he know who that is initially?
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He has various assumptions about who that might be. There's a new girl at school called Evie, who he thinks may be the person he's talking to, but he doesn't know. And kind of part of the... What happens in the book is the fact that that person is anonymous and not kind of right in front of him allows him to open up in a way that he maybe can't to the people around him at that moment.
Once you realized that you had, and I'm speaking of you now, your personal experience, Simon, that you had an eating disorder, was your family aware of this? Were they affected by your condition?
So they were certainly affected. I mean, I'm very conscious that I was 12 years old, so I probably didn't see exactly everything that was going on with my parents at the time. But yes, they were. I mean, I was very lucky that they were kind of responsive to it and aware of it, and I got the kind of medical treatment I needed relatively swiftly. Definitely a problem with, you know, boys are about a quarter of the people with eating disorders, and there's definitely, and because they... parents and families are expecting it less, and because they tend to get eating disorders, they often get them at younger ages, and people often just aren't on the lookout for it, so they can become quite ingrained and quite established before people notice and do something about it and kind of get them the attention they need. So I was very fortunate in that regard, but lots of people unfortunately aren't.
I don't know about the situation in the United Kingdom where you live, Simon Pollan, but here in the United States, it would be my guess that most folks really didn't know a whole lot about eating disorders, or maybe they'd never even heard of them, until the tragic death of the singer Karen Carpenter many, many years ago, who died from anorexia. And that's when a lot of people here in the United States became aware of just how serious a problem it could be.
Yeah, the recognition has definitely got better over the years, and some high-profile cases have sort of helped. I mean, it sounds like a very perverse way of saying it, but have sort of helped with that recognition problem. I think there's still a ways to go, and I think people don't understand necessarily the diversity of different people who can get eating disorders. You know, we kind of think of particularly young women getting eating disorders, but actually, you can have an eating disorder when you're in old age, and you can have an eating disorder if you're a man, and you can have an eating disorder in all kinds of situations. And as I say, I think that thing of people just not being on the lookout for it, not thinking about it, can be a real challenge for people getting medical help.
Did you lose a lot of weight whenever you were suffering from anorexia?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I won't go into too much detail about that, but yes, I was very thin. Part of the kind of diagnostic criteria for anorexia is losing a certain amount of body weight. I was looking back at photos of myself from then. I was very kind of severely thin. Yeah.
Do medical researchers know anything about the cause of anorexia or other eating disorders? I mean, is it something physical? Is it mental? Is it a combination of both, Simon?
It's a really complex picture. So there is probably a genetic component. People have recognized the genetic component. It definitely runs in families. There are certain triggering situations if people have kind of stressful home lives or a lot of pressure put on them on them at work or at school or whatever the situation is, that can contribute as well. But it's like a lot of mental health things, it's a kind of perfect, when it happens, it's a sort of perfect storm of different factors that come together, and that makes it very difficult to point to one thing that causes an eating disorder.
Do you think there are particular challenges when it comes to tackling eating disorders for boys and men? Because, as you mentioned, the first thing we think of when we hear about this is it affecting girls. Any unique challenges for males?
Yeah, I mean, that recognition problem is huge. Eating disorders tend to be easier to fix the sooner they are dealt with, and that's because they are very based in habits, and the longer you have been starving yourself, the longer you've been over-exercising, whatever the kind of profile of the eating disorder is for you, the longer that's been ingrained, the harder the problem is to fix, because like all addictive behaviors, it becomes, it just becomes a habit that you do over and over again. So for that reason, early intervention is I think medically recognized as really important in eating disorders, and you get, they are very potentially very deadly and very severe diseases, but they are less likely to be that bad and more likely to be fixed if they are dealt with earlier. And for that reason, in men, that can be a real problem just because people don't notice until it's too late.
And by the way, anorexia is not the only type of eating disorder, correct?
That's right. The diagnoses have moved around a little bit, but there's bulimia is much the most common eating disorder, I think. And there's also a category called EDNOS, which is kind of everything else, eating disorders not otherwise specified. And there's lots of different experiences that kind of overlap between the different categories. It's quite a complex picture.
One final question. How did you yourself, when you experienced this as a very young man, how did you get control of it? How did you take back your life, Samuel?
I mean, the single most important thing was I got medical care. So I started seeing a clinical psychologist and a nutritionist, and that helped me massively. I was kind of relatively responsive to treatment. I think on some level I knew that things had got to quite a desperate sort of point. I also had, I think I referred to this when I was talking about the book, one of the key themes in the book is that Max's friends and family around him carry on the kind of everyday structures of his life. So his family go on holidays, and they go on, he plays video games with his friends, and they watch, you know, go to the cinema and all of the things that you tend to do as a kind of 14-year-old boy. And the fact that, you know, for a long time he resists that stuff because he kind of wants to be on his own, he's dealing with this thing, but the fact that those people are still around him as he starts to recover means that he has the structure to his life and he can kind of slip back into much healthier routines. And kind of a key message of the book is that those connections you have with people around you, just those conversations that you have that aren't about food and aren't about your eating disorder, but are just about, you know, everyday life, are really important.
Who'd you write this book for? Young adults mainly?
Yeah, it's sort of 10 to 15-year-olds, something like that. So a lot younger than fiction kind of on this topic tends to be, yeah.
Samuel Paulen, if you're looking for him online, it's P-O-L-L-E-N. Samuel Paulen lives in London. He's a runner, he's an animal lover, and he's written for, among other things, The Guardian, which is one of the most respected newspapers in the United Kingdom. The title of his novel, Dealing with Anorexia, The Year I Didn't Eat, by Samuel Paulen. Samuel, nice to talk with you today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Sure. So long now.
Thanks.
Do you have missing teeth or wear dentures? You may have heard of or are considering dental implants. Hi, this is Dr. Bob Todd of Butler Smiles Dental Care. There are many options available with dental implants, and making the right choice can be confusing. I have been placing dental implants since 2004, both full-size traditional implants and small diameter or mini dental implants. There are indications for both, but more and more we are using mini dental implants in a variety of innovative ways. They are easier to place, causing less discomfort, are less costly, and can frequently be used immediately after placement, allowing you to get back to eating the foods you like or smiling again right away. Traditional implants typically have a 4-month healing time before they can be used. I invite you to call our office at 282-7774 to schedule a free consultation to see if mini dental implants are the right solution for your dental problems, or visit us on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Listeners, we're talking for the next few minutes with a couple of guests joining us. They are co-authors of an interesting book called The People's Pharmacy, Quick and Handy Home Remedies. Joe, Terry, nice to have you with us today.
Great to be with you, Dave.
Nice to join you.
Tell us a little bit about, first of all, your book. You're aiming at a specific audience here. This is very accessible. I'm guessing it's aimed at anybody, right?
It really is, whether you're a teenager with acne or whether you're somebody who's 60 or 70 and you've got a little joint pain, we've got a remedy for you.
Tell us a little bit about what we will find in your book. Give us a couple of tips.
Well, we really have we have home remedies for an awful lot of common ailments, from allergies and back pain to eczema or gas, and all the way through to warts and wound care.
You know, if you've got pepper in your kitchen cupboard, or cinnamon, or coffee, or mustard, or olives, or vinegar, one of those foods might be an amazingly effective treatment. You know, Hippocrates said over 2,500 years ago, let food be your medicine, and we're learning that there is now science to support that approach. We've got all of these remedies in the book. So, for example, if you've got a little joint pain, or maybe psoriasis, you might want to try turmeric. It's the yellow spice and yellow mustard. You know, it makes yellow mustard that bright yellow color. Mm-hmm. And if you've got leg cramps, why don't you try a little teaspoonful of yellow mustard? It'll take away those cramps in seconds.
Now, Dave, anybody with high blood pressure can lower their blood pressure by following a DASH diet. And if you wonder how to do that, we tell you exactly how.
DASH stands for Dietary Approaches to Stopping Hypertension, and there are now so many research studies to support it that no one's even questioning it.
I've heard a number since I was a little kid of supposed cure for hiccups. You recommend a pickle juice of all things in your book?
Pickle juice or even an olive seems to take away hiccups very quickly. The old-fashioned remedy that we talked about over 35 years ago in our first People's Pharmacy book was a teaspoonful of dry, granulated white sugar. But there are lots of other ways to do it now. One other way is if you drink a glass of water have somebody come up behind you and put their hands over your ears. And while you drink, the hiccups go away.
I'm not laughing. It was a great uncle of mine who told me about swallowing the teaspoonful of sugar way back when I was a kid. I can't wait to try the pickle juice, though.
Uh-huh.
They'll take away your leg cramps as well, just like the yellow mustard does.
An upset stomach can be eased by eating coconut? You mean next time I got an upset tummy, I reach for a Mounds bar and I'm in good shape? Is that what you mean?
Well, it can help quite a lot. And basically, coconut is extremely good for any condition that involves diarrhea.
You have an interesting picture. It's on the back cover of your book. Listeners, we're talking with Joe and Terry Graydon, authors of The People's Pharmacy, Quick and Handy Home Remedies. And you have a lot of stuff spread out before you on the table. It looks like cinnamon sticks, and you got a bunch of beakers and stuff like that. But all of these things are commonly found in the home, it would appear. Am I right on that, Joe?
Absolutely. The cinnamon can help lower your blood sugar levels, and we also have cherries for your arthritis pain. We have vinegar to help also control your cholesterol as well as your blood sugar, and we have a couple of bars of soap on the cover, which would suggest that if you put a bar of soap under the bottom sheet next to your calf, it may prevent those nighttime leg cramps. So we've got lots of remedies that will be surprisingly effective and surprisingly affordable.
And that funny-looking Aladdin's lamp-type pitcher is called a neti pot, and people use it to prevent sinusitis.
That's right. You stick that thing in your nose, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I knew what that was. Joe, you mentioned, I think, that in your first People's Pharmacy 30-some years ago. Tell us a little bit about yourselves. How long have you two been doing this?
Well, over 35 years. The first book was The People's Pharmacy, 1976. And what we've been trying to do is help people make wise decisions about their health for over three decades. The People's Pharmacy Quick and Handy Home Remedies is just the latest in the series of now over a dozen books. So whether people have bug bites or burns, whether they're dealing with motion sickness and dizziness or plantar fasciitis, we've got a remedy for them that, you know, it's going to allow them to make some choices, whether they want to try something natural or whether they want to go to the pharmacy and try something over the counter.
Where is your book available?
You'll find it on Amazon.com, any bookstore, or you can find it on our website, peoplespharmacy.com.
And this is published in conjunction with the National Geographic, am I correct on that?
That's exactly right.
Our guests visiting with us for a few minutes today, Joe and Terry Graydon, co-authors of The People's Pharmacy, Quick and Handy Home Remedies, Questions and Answers for Your Common Ailments. Thanks a lot, folks. Nice to talk with you today.
Good to talk with you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Miller's Shoes, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler. Folks, you talk about tradition. You realize Miller's Shoes has been in downtown Butler for well over 120 years now? Yeah, that's tradition. That's staying power. Miller's Shoes, your headquarters for shoes for all members of the family. If you're looking for athletic shoes, they've got them for men, women, teens, kids, and they've got all the famous brands, too, right there under one roof. Miller's Shoes has Nike, New Balance, Saucony, Rockport, Keds, Skechers, Easy Spirit, Asics, ProPet, and more. Athletic shoes for the whole family. They've also got Rockport shoes and Trotters and Hush Puppies and many other famous name brands as well. Easy Spirit. And they're your local headquarters for America's favorite comfort shoes, SAS. You'll find them for men and women in a variety of styles and colors at Miller's Shoes. You can always count on that great Miller's fit, too. And a friendly smile from the Ciprians. Miller's Shoes, headquarters for shoes for the entire family, 215 South Main Street in downtown Butler, Miller's Shoes.
Welcome back, listeners, to It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 AM. Kayla Moles, and in this segment for Dave Malarkey, thanks so much for joining me. We are going to talk about the St. Barnabas Health System 5K. We like to meet with St. Barnabas a couple times over the course of a month or so, and this is our time with them. I want to welcome in Shelly Samariva. She is the Marketing Communications Manager there. Shelly, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
I know that the health system, you always have so much going on. You have four campuses in Butler, Allegheny, and Beaver counties. You're always raising money for your free care fund. Something coming up in a couple weeks that we want to let people know about today is the free care 5K run and walk. It's coming up soon.
It is. That's right around the corner. It is on Saturday, August 3rd, and it will be held on our Meridian, our Gibsonia campus on Meridian Road.
Yeah, that's the St. Barnabas Gibsonia campus. There's so many now that we have to, like, point people to the right spot, you know what I mean, so they don't get lost.
Right. It's just really a short drive from Butler, right straight down Route 8. You know, you can get off on Bakerstown Road there. Mm-hmm. It's real close to Route 8. So it's a short drive, and we have lots of people that come from the Butler community, and we invite everyone to come out and join us.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be on Saturday, August 3rd. Kicks off at 9 o'clock that morning. Hopefully that's a rain-free morning. You're kind of scared to say that this summer.
Oh, believe me. A little rain isn't bad.
True.
I think people actually maybe enjoy that a little bit. But, yeah, so we're just going to hope for nice, clear skies. Mm-hmm.
You guys have been doing this for quite some time. I believe it's the 28th year.
It is. This is our 28th race. We're excited. It has grown so much over the years. We get, oh my gosh, more than 1,000, you know, between the race, the runners, the walkers, their supporters, their fans. We have hundreds of volunteers that come out. So that we have about 1,000 people that are here on our campus.
Wow. I like that, you know, it really brings a lot of people, because you can be a competitive runner and you can be going for, you know, a course record, mm-hmm. or to break your own time. Or if you have some kids and you want to push them in a stroller, or if you're a walker, even wheelchair participants, you kind of invite this and open it up to everybody.
Absolutely. It is, just as you said, it is a competitive race for those who, you know, would like to compete. We have a very nice cash prize purse for the top three overall male and female winners, and okay. that the total of that purse is $1,000 between those six winners, so mm-hmm. so there's some incentive there. We have actually a nice pace team that comes out, so if you're looking to improve your personal record and you want to run at a certain pace, the pace team can help you do that. And then again, if you want to come out with your family, if you would just like to have a leisurely walk to support their free care fund, you can push a stroller. Lots of people run with strollers, amazingly.
That's hard to do.
Yes, they do it. You know, and so you can walk at your own pace also.
Is that what you see that you get people from all, you know, walks mm-hmm. of life and with different goals to come out that morning?
Absolutely, absolutely. And then the race is set up that way, obviously. The runners are in the front, the walkers are mm-hmm. in the back. Mm-hmm. We even have a special category that it's called 5K My Way. So if your age is 70 plus and you would truly just like to, again, walk at your own pace, you can walk from the start line directly to the finish line, because our course is an out and back course, so you can sort of skip mm-hmm. The whole turnaround and go directly to the finish line, and you know, that's also a very nice walk, and there's a different registration fee for that.
Yeah, we're going to talk registration fees in just a second, but I did want to talk to you about that 5K mm-hmm. My Way, because I think it's awesome concept, and like you said, it's for individuals 70 years of age and older. I mean, can we just praise them for getting out and doing this, because it's amazing. I saw something on the news a couple weeks back. I think there was a 95-year-old that was still competing in races. It's never too late.
It is never too late. It is never too late. And most of those people are actually running. They're not even walking, so that is awesome.
That puts the rest of us to shame, doesn't it?
Of course.
I did take a peek at the course records, and I was just blown away, and like you said, it is a competitive race, if you want it to be a competitive mm-hmm, race. Mm-hmm. I think the male record was from a man, Josh Simpson from West Virginia, 14 minutes and 36 seconds. That's
right.
Pretty quick.
That is very fast.
And on the woman's side, Aubrey mm-hmm. Moskal of Morgantown, West Virginia, right. 16 minutes and 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. So maybe those will be broken this year.
Hopefully we'll get some fast runners out there. We usually do. A lot of it depends on the weather, how hot it might be that day too.
That's very true.
Yeah.
I know registration still very much underway. Mm-hmm. You can do it online or by phone.
Absolutely, you can log on to our website, which is freecare5k.com. We have an online registration form. And you can call our office if you'd like to. We're at 625-3770. And there's also, if you'd like to pick up a race brochure, we have them at all of our St. Barnabas buildings on our campus. We have some also at Paraka Interiors on Route 8. They are the presenting sponsor of the race, mm-hmm. and so they have some brochures in their showroom if you're in that area. And you can also download a brochure on that website as well.
And that's freecare5k.com. And yes. You do get a little bit of a break if you register before race day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's $25 and then $30 on race day?
Correct, yes. Okay. You can also, if you decide that morning you'd like to come out, we can take your registration on race day as well.
Sometimes that's me. You never know how you're going to feel mm-hmm. that morning. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she gave you some plans the night before. You're like, I don't know how I feel. So that's nice that you can still register sure. on race day. Mm-hmm. I know that you can register teams as well. Talk to me about this.
And the same goes for the teams. We have competitive teams who mm-hmm. are out. We hand out medals for those who have the fastest time. You just have to have at least three people in your team. One of them has to be a female. And, okay. you know, you can competitively run. And then if you also just want to create, you know, your family can be a team. And they can, you know, dress alike or dress in a fun costume, and you can walk for, you know, maybe you're walking, you know, just for your family, you're mm-hmm. walking for an honor or a memory of somebody, so it can be a team that runs and or walk, so we welcome all of that as well.
Shelley, do you see a lot of people that simply come out to this because they've been touched by, you know, the care at St. Barnabas, or they've had a family member, or whatever the case may be, and this maybe is their, you know, yearly time to come together and just mm-hmm. remember and reflect?
Absolutely, we do. And that's the, you know, very nice part of it as well. And we have some family members that, you know, will come out to support the cause because of the great care that they've had here, their family members have had here at St. Barnabas. Or they'll come out and bring their family member, you know, out of the nursing home and, you know, maybe push them in the wheelchair mm-hmm. for a little bit and just, you know, be part of some fun activities. And so it's very nice. So that's my favorite part of the event.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Family time. Mm-hmm. I know there are some special features, some new things this year. If somebody's been doing it, maybe this is their 28th year. They've been doing it every year. A newly paved course. That sounds nice.
It is. Meridian Road was paved recently, the entire road. So that's going to be a special treat this year for everyone, all of the bumpy and the not so...
Oh, the potholes are gone.
Yeah. So that's a nice added benefit this year.
Okay. And I know you did something different with the timing chip. You put it in the bib instead of... Did it used to be in the shoe, or how did that work?
Yes. I think that technology has adapted it. Some from the shoe, you used to have to tie it onto your shoelaces, and you mm-hmm. have to clip mm-hmm. it off. But now it's really just part of the bib, and so that's just a new process okay. with the timing company. And so all of the racers who have their bib and the timing chip on from the start line to the finish line will be timed according to that clock.
Okay. And this is, like you mentioned earlier, this is a rolling 3.1-mile out mm-hmm. and back course, and you can pick up a race map. You can download one if you want to do mm-hmm. that. And it is a USA Track and Field certified race, so that's important to some people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What happens after the race? Because I know when people stop running, they just don't go home.
Right. We have a very nice and a fun post-race party. So we have a DJ that's playing music the whole morning. And then while we're getting all the scores tallied and the times, you know, the lists ready and mm-hmm. the medals, all of that ready, we have a huge food tent with tons of pizza and wings, donuts, cookies. We have drinks. We have beer. We're going to have moonshine this year. Gatorade, you know, lots of special protein drinks. Mm-hmm. So there's lots to refuel that way. And people just, you know, bring their chairs. They hang out on the lawn, wait for their award ceremony. And we also hand out about 23 different raffle prizes. So just by being in the race, we can pull your bib number and you can win, you know, tickets to any of the amusement parks, to the museums. We have lots of nice giveaways.
Oh, that's awesome. So you really don't have to register for a lot of those raffles extra. It just
nope.
kind of comes with your bib.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is the craft beer basket raffle, is that something separate?
It is. That is something that requires a separate purchase and a separate chance to win. And we have a cooler that's filled with craft beers, and it's a pretty nice display. So everyone who wins it is pretty excited when they do. And we announced that at the post race party as well.
We know that craft beer is so popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, locally we have so many breweries popping up, so I'm assuming that's going to be a popular raffle.
It is. It always is.
And all of those proceeds benefit the Free Care Fund. All the proceeds from this race benefit the Free Care Fund. I know that St. Barnabas does, what is it, $7 million in care to patients and residents, and that's every single year.
And that's every year. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to wrap your mind around.
Right, it is. So, you know, in addition to the, we have so many generous donors who can donate, you know, not only just monetarily, they leave us in their wills and estates and in life insurance policies, but they also participate in our fundraising events. And we have five of them a year. The 5K is one of them. We have a fundraising dinner in April. We have two golf opens at our courses at Conley Resort in Butler. And we have the 5K, of course, and then we have a ladies' day out in the fall.
I know that for all of those events, you really see the community coming, you know, coming together and wrapping themselves around your initiatives. And I just think it has to be because they've been affected positively by St. Barnabas, whether they had a family member that received free care. It's one of those things that, you know, if it would ever go away, there would be such a void, mm-hmm. and we hope that never happens. But it's just so nice to see, and I'm sure from your perspective too, just the community support that you get.
We do. We have a great support from our local community. That's all-encompassing. I mean, it's from the Butler County area, down here in the North Hills. We have our Beaver location. And our employees also, we draw so many employees from the Butler area as well. So, you know, we're very fortunate to be able to have the support from everybody.
It seems like such a family. I did a story a couple weeks back on one of your employees. He works at the Suncrest Golf Course mm-hmm. in Penn Township, mm-hmm. and he's been there forever, and apparently a lot of the St. Barnabas residents know him. He just got a hole-in-one on that course.
Oh, right.
His name was Jack, and he was just the nicest man, and he was having such a ball with this hole-in-one, mm-hmm. obviously, but he was talking just about the family atmosphere that he feels and that he's gotten to know so many people at St. Barnabas. It just makes you feel good.
That's nice. Yes, it is. It's very nice.
I just want to remind everybody again as we finish up our time with Shelley from the St. Barnabas Health System, the Free Care 5K Run and Walk is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's on Saturday, August 3rd, 9 o'clock in the morning at the St. Barnabas Gibsonia campus. That's on Meridian Road in Gibsonia. It's the 28th year for the event. You can sign up now at freecare5k.com. You can also call St. Barnabas at 724-625-3770 to register. We'll put that all up online for you. And if you want to wait till race day to register, you can do that as well. Just mark that date on your calendar, Saturday, August 3rd. Shelley, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Take care.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I'm Kayla Molzan in for Dave Malarkey for this segment. Thanks so much for joining me. That'll wrap up today's edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR 680 AM. Have a great weekend. Have a rain-free weekend, we hope. And Dave will be back to talk to you all on Monday.
In today's fast-paced world, our lives get a whole lot easier when we trust experts. We trust people who know what they're doing. And when it comes to shipping, I trust Gullen Postal Butler. They're right off Newcastle Road on Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's easy, too. I just cruise on back, go say hello to the friendly folks inside, and they package my items for shipping. And that saves me a whole lot of time from trying to wrap my item, trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels. With Gullen Postal Butler, I know they provide quality service. They've got great prices. Most importantly, they are trustworthy. So I know that my package will go where I need it to go. That's Gullen Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. Your friendly neighborhood shipping store, Gullen Postal Butler.
Here's a pre-planning checklist. Pre-plan your vacation? Check. Pre-plan for retirement? Check. Pre-plan for college expenses? Check. Pre-plan for a funeral? Hold on, you say, I don't want to even think about that now. Think again. Now is really the best time. Before your emotions get in the way of logical and sensitive decisions, make all of these choices now. The funeral service, the choice of caskets, which minister, priest, or rabbi, cremation. Visitations, flowers, church service, or not, all these decisions must be made, of course, but make them now, before your emotions get in the way of logical decisions. Pre-plan with Thompson Miller. Think about it, and then call us to meet with you to discuss it privately. Call 724-287-3706, 287-3706. Pre-arrangements. It really makes sense. Thompson Miller Funeral Home at the corner of East North and McCain Streets in downtown Butler. Thompson Miller. Time-honored excellence.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Take me, for I've been lonely, in need of someone, as though I'd done someone wrong somewhere, but I don't know where. I don't know where. Come lately, you are the sun, I am the moon. You are the words, I am the tune. Play me. Songs she sang to me, songs she brang to me, words that rang in me, rhyme that sprang from me, warm the night. And what was right became me.